Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Welcome to Sunday Night Live.
On Veterans Day.
Yes, indeed.
Hallelujah. You know, I want to encourage you to go to Google and type in America's Heroes ESPN. You may not watch ESPN, but there's a 6.5 minute clip that they had on their tribute to veterans. And it's filled with daddies and mamas surprising their family coming home early. Mm-hmm. And
those are so great.
I cried frequently during that 6 minute time. America's Heroes ESPN. And we salute.
Yes.
All our veterans.
Amen.
Those active duty, those retired.
And families.
And the families of those who've lost loved ones defending this country.
Right. Or had to do without them for long periods of time.
I know some say, well, that's Memorial Day. No, it's every day.
It's every day.
Because their family lives with it every day. So when you see a veteran, tell them thanks.
Amen.
You know, we get to see a lot of active duty military.
Yes, we do.
And we always tell them, thank you for your service. And they invariably say, thank you for caring, which is really nice. Yeah, it really is. There's another big event today.
It is? Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Uh-oh.
Somebody had a birthday.
I'm sure there are several people, but
Diane Dunn.
Our executive
assistant.
That's it.
It's her birthday.
Wee!
We're going to get her a cake, but we didn't have enough candles. I'm teasing. Anyhow, happy birthday, Diane. Thank you for all you do.
Amen. It's true confession time.
Yeah, it is. True confession. There was a time when our personal finances were a mess. We were drowning in a sea of debt, late fees, and overdraft charges. In fact, I was robbing Peter to pay Paul, and occasionally I'd hit James, John, and Luke. I'd hit them up as well. And even though I'd read dozens of books on motivation, success, finances, I obviously didn't know how to put that information to work. Something was either going to have to change, or we're going to be in a hole for a good while. The aha moment, I like that word, aha. The aha moment finally came when we met Brother John Avanzini, whose teaching turned our financial lives around. The thing I figured out was that wealth had much more to do with obedience to God than math. You know, obedience to God more than math. And things started to change. And I do want you to know that these problems I'm discussing was not her fault. It was my fault. And I do like to make that point clear.
Oh, thank you. I was raised rather conservatively.
Yeah, she was. And I always said if dictionaries had pictures, beside the word tight would be Belle's photograph.
Yeah, I was pretty tight.
And she was tight when it came to the money.
Yes, it was.
As well. Okay, anyhow, but I wanted to make that point.
That's very sweet.
But after that aha moment, we began to understand what God says about money and how to apply it, not only in the accumulation of it, but in dealing with debts and creditors and everything and everybody else. But it's important to know, well, let me say this too. As I started getting that revelation, I had to change my mindset about money to embrace God's principles.
That's where it starts.
And when I started embracing His principles, the windows of heaven opened on our behalf. And God, He honored our ability, our willingness to walk in obedience. He did.
That's right.
And God wants you to live well. Let me say that again. Here on this 11th day of November, 2018. God wants you to live well. As your Heavenly Father, His desire is to see you healthy and wealthy in every way.
That's right. As it says in 3 John 2, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. You know, he wants us to live the good life now, but where does it begin? With the Word of God.
Let me say this too. In 3 John 2, mm-hmm. that word where it says wish is more yeah. properly translated, pray. My prayer is that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Mm. And there's another, it's also a desire. My prayer is that you prosper and be in health, just as your soul does. He wants us to have the good life. And the question, you were just saying, where does wealth begin? Mm.
Deuteronomy 8:18.
Good spot.
This is what the Lord says. It proclaims what God says, that God has given us the power to get wealth. He even states his purpose for the ability that he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto thy fathers as it was this day. God made a promise to that generation.
He promised Abraham and all generations to come that if they followed his plan, and they would be rooted and grounded financially so that no economic problems could ever overthrow them, overcome them, or the orderly operation of his covenant right here on planet Earth. So not only does God give us the promise of wealth, he says we won't be affected by the ups and downs on planet Earth and what goes on. Mm.
And if we're not going to be, then...
But see, what happens when things get tough, we begin thinking the worst case scenario instead of claiming the promises, holding on to that. And that makes a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So if we're going to live on planet Earth and do according to what God says, we have to understand the wiles that the enemy uses against us.
And we have to understand that in ways that are sometimes subtle, sometimes
right.
not, we need to know there's an evil presence that's present that wants to separate you from your money.
That's right.
Your money. And sometimes it's done in ways that are, like I said, subtle. See, the enemy knows that if he can talk us out of our money, we'll no longer be effective in fulfilling God's covenant.
That's right.
On planet Earth.
Good stewards.
Or the Great Commission. He knows that. But remember this, God knows everything and has an answer for every problem because there's an answer
Amen.
To everything that we face. There really is.
Amen. God gives us principles to stay out of debt. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, it says, it's not going to be what you're thinking, I bet. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So there is nothing that can so tempt you that you don't have the ability to get out from underneath that before you do something stupid.
You need to get
with
this,
your money.
And that's a good point. Need to get this mindset that God wants money to work for us, not against us.
Amen.
And that needs to be, well, I know that, but do you really know it?
Are you putting
when the rubber
it
hits
practice?
The road?
That's right.
When things are tough?
The thing about it is that you really can't outgive God. We're going to get there. You know, because his principles work, but you have to get into the habit of doing his principles for them to come back and bless you.
There are five things God will never do with money. And I was meditating, Lord, what do you want us to teach Sunday night?
Wow.
And he came up.
With five things.
Brought
That's
this to
right.
my mind. He did. You know, I saw a poll recently in USA Today. Forgot what organization did the poll. But it said that 65% of all Americans either always or sometimes worry about money.
I'd probably say that might be 95%.
I think it's probably higher than that too. But just imagine there are 10 people standing. And only three of those 10 don't worry about money. Because you can't have a half person, so we'll round it up. And literally, 3 out of 10 worry about money. And God doesn't want us worrying about money.
Don't worry about money.
In fact, number one, God will never use money to worry us. If a believer is worried, frustrated, or upset about money, God's not in control.
There you go.
Let me say that again. If a believer is worried, frustrated, and upset about money, God is not in control. God said that worry is not his plan for our lives. David Geffen, who I don't think he's a Christian, doesn't matter. He's a music magnate and was one of the founders of DreamWorks Studios and all that. But he had a quote I like. Anybody who thinks money will make you happy hasn't got any money.
There you go. That's a truth. Matthew 6:25 in the Classic Amplified Bible says, "Therefore I tell you, stop being perpetually uneasy, anxious, and worried about your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, or about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life greater in quality than food, and the body far above and more excellent than clothing?" And then 2 verses later, in Matthew 6:27, in the New International Version, it says, "Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" That's a good question.
That's a great question.
Worry never put a cent back in your checking account.
Didn't get your job back.
That's right. So, you know.
All worry will do is make you uglier.
That's right, because you're frowning over being
worried. I haven't found that in the Bible, but I know it's true by observation.
It says you learn from experience in the Bible.
That's true.
Philippians 4:6, also in the Classic Amplified, says, "Do not fret or have anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance," there's no asterisk that says, oh, once in a while you can, "but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite request, with thanksgiving," remember what he's done for you, "continue to make your wants known to God."
If we're relying on his presence, he'll supply all of our needs just as he promised.
Yeah.
And by the way,
he promises to guide us.
Philippians 4:6, "Do not fret or have anxiety about anything except hurricanes, layoffs," you know. There's no asterisk.
That's what I was saying.
Yep, you're right.
I mean, can't worry. You have to pray. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. And Philippians 4:19 promises, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus."
I like the second, third word of that scripture. My God.
My God.
My God.
Amen.
My God. So, believing that, we can concentrate on other things.
Mm-hmm.
I came across a quote, and I like it, so I put it in. It made me laugh. Jerry Seinfeld, the comedian, said, "Dogs have no money. Isn't that amazing? They're broke their entire lives, but they get through."
You know why dogs have no money? Because they don't have any pockets. Okay, just as easy as that. Sometimes we have to lighten up when it gets into money issues because, well, you know why. We just have to lighten up when it comes to money issues sometimes. Number two, God will not use money to corrupt us.
True. And although God will not use money to corrupt us, the Bible warns us not to let Satan deceive us through financial snares.
That's it. James 4:3, Classic Amplified. "Or do you ask God for them," the things you want, "and yet fail to receive because you ask with wrong purpose and evil, selfish motives? Your intention is when you get what you desire to spend it in sensual pleasures." Money is for movement. Money, by living in God's principles, we are blessed, you know, without falling into the enemy's wiles. Because we can never outgive God.
Say that again.
We can never outgive God. He's always blessing us back when we are in a giving mode.
Randy Alcorn, who's a really great author, noted Christian author, he said, God is the greatest giver in the universe, and he won't let you outgive him.
That's it.
Whenever we plant to the kingdom, he multiplies it back to us.
That's right.
After all, seed time and harvest, his ideas.
That's right.
Genesis 8:22.
That's it.
So we can never outgive God. King David knew that God had prospered him and allowed him to defeat his enemies. While sitting in his home, he was talking with Nathan the prophet.
And in 2 Samuel 7:3, in the Message Bible, this is what David said. Before long, the king made himself at home, and God gave him peace from all his enemies. Then one day, King David said to Nathan the prophet, look at this, here I am comfortable in a luxurious house of cedar, and the chest of God sits in a plain tent.
Now, but God.
But God.
Two of our favorite words. It's true. But God had a bigger gift in mind for King David.
That's right. In 2 Samuel 7:11, the Classic Amplified, it says, and as from the time that I appointed judges over my people, Israel, I will cause you to rest from all your enemies, and the Lord declares to you that he will make for you a house. Then in 2 Samuel 7:16, still the Classic Amplified, it says, and your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever.
This story is a powerful reminder that we can never outgive God. And while he invites our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, he will always, always give us back far more than we could possibly give him.
That's it.
He will never be a debtor to anyone.
That is exactly right. In the New International Version of Psalm 50:12, it says, if I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all that is in it.
If you have time, I encourage you to read some biographies, or just go online if you don't read the book about them, or books about them. But Milton Hershey.
Yes, Hershey.
He founded
candies.
The Hershey Candy Company. One of my favorites. With nuts. Dark chocolate.
Go.
Okay. Thomas Welch. Welch's grape juice. John Cadbury.
Also chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
Cadbury chocolate.
Cadbury chocolates from England. And R.J. Letourneau, who had the largest at one time, the largest earth-moving equipment that people could buy, founded a university. All these men lift off 10% of their income. And while doing so, watch their income increased dramatically.
Yeah, and gave away 90% to
Hershey,
good things.
When he started his plan, he actually built housing. First person to build housing for his employees. In addition to that, he started a school for kids that were orphans in like 1909.
Yeah.
And
affordable housing.
You know, just did a lot.
He did. Yeah, he did.
One of our favorite places.
It's a fun
Hershey,
place.
Pennsylvania. Because when you get about 5 miles outside of town, you can smell chocolate. Hallelujah. That's a good thing. Number three.
I know.
God will never use money to build our egos. God doesn't want to build our bank account as much as he wants to build our character.
That's it.
And what's in our hearts. Pastor and author John Piper said, wise people know all their money belongs to God. Brother Piper, Pastor Piper, said something else. Honey, why don't you share that?
That's good. The person who thinks the money he makes is meant mainly to increase his comforts on earth is a fool. Jesus says, wise people know that all their money belongs to God and should be used to show that God and not money is their real treasure, their comfort, their joy, and their security.
Money doesn't corrupt anyone.
That's right.
It just reveals the character, their character, what's living inside of them.
Amen.
But walking with God is a change that begins to inside before it appears outside. literally in everything. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to change what's inside us. You know, and I have a statement that changes a door that can only be opened from the inside. We have to change what's in us before we can ever change what's around us.
That's
a fact. And God, He's not against us having good things, but He is against good things having us.
That's right.
Yeah, I said for years that, you know, there's nothing wrong with having prosperity as long as prosperity doesn't have us. You know, God, when we leave this world, when we leave it, we take nothing material with us.
And that reminds me of two guys standing by the side of the road when John Rockefeller.
This is a cartoon.
Yeah, was going by in his hearse, you know, on the way to the graveyard. And the one guy turned to the other and said, "Wow, I wonder how much wealth he left behind." And the other guy said, "All of it." So, you know, it doesn't matter how much you got here on earth, you're not taking any of it with you. And I think one of the ways we talk about, you know, for eternity, you know, we need to lay up our treasures in heaven. One of the ways I think that we can tell whether we're taking too, you know, wanting too much is, you know, if you want something, you know, you go into a store or you're, you know, if you want something, if you feel like you're comfortable in saying, "God, would you let me have this? Would you allow me? Is this something that is in, you know, my plan?" And you allow, if you don't feel like, "Don't say no, don't say no, don't say no," then you know what? That is how we know whether it has us or we have it. That's just a good rule of thumb anyway, in my opinion.
Can you do that again? Don't say no, don't say
no. You're okay. Hey, don't say no, don't say no to me. Okay, just letting you know.
All right, I got it.
Next time. Remember that.
I will.
Okay, sorry.
You're going to laugh on me.
No, don't get me going. But we have, you know, we need to lay up our treasures in heaven, right?
And they're not deposited there by human ego.
That's it.
Now, let me say quickly, a person without an ego is not any good. There's nothing wrong with having an ego. You just need to be sanctified.
That's right. You got to have something to get you off that couch and get you out
That's
there going,
it.
"Hey, I'm going to do great things."
Opportunity can be knocking on the door, but if you don't get off the couch
and answer it,
it's not coming in your house.
That's it.
You got to go to somebody else's house. I want you to remember this sentence. I think I wrote it on the outline. "Lord, help me always to remember what's important, not money in the bank, but Jesus in my heart."
Amen. And that's where it you could read that in the scripture in Matthew 6:19-20. I'm reading it from the New Living Translation. It says, "Don't store up treasures here on earth where moth eats them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store in your treasures in heaven where moth and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal."
When our priorities are right, we don't have to worry about our egos.
Yeah.
When our priorities are right, we understand that everything we have came from God, comes from God. And that's a fact.
Mm.
Number four, God will not cause Christians to hoard.
That's right.
There's a distinction between saving and hoarding. Saving is biblically recommended in order to be prepared for what inevitably lies ahead.
In Proverbs 21:20, in the Living Bible, it says, "The wise man saves for the future, but the foolish man spends whatever he gets."
Hoarding is putting money aside for accumulation purposes alone, just for accumulating. And it prevents Christians, I think, honey, from seeing the needs of others. Dr. Billy Graham, who's now enjoying fellowship.
Yes, of all those millions he led to heaven.
And he said one time,
"God has given us two hands, one to receive and the other one to give. We are not cisterns made for hoarding. We are channels made for sharing."
That's a great quote.
It is a good quote. And in James 2:15-17, it says, "If a brother or sister is poorly clad and lacks food for each day, and one of you says to him, 'Goodbye, keep yourself warm and well fed,' without giving him the necessities for the body, What good does that do? So also faith, if it does not have works, deeds, actions of obedience to back it up, by itself is destitute of power, inoperative, and dead. The Message Bible translation in part says this.
I like this.
Isn't it obvious that God talk without God acts is outrageous nonsense?
I love it.
Yeah.
James L. Kraft.
A lot of these pioneers, the country, were incredible men when it came to...
Major companies.
Yes. And God blessed them because of their Christian ethic.
Strong. And you mentioned Rockefeller earlier.
Yeah.
First job he ever got. He made $1.50 first day. Came home and gave the money to his mama. She said, nope, nobody comes in this house that hadn't been tithed on first.
That's it.
So John D. tithed on that first $1.50 he ever made. And he later said in life, he's convinced that had he not tithed on that, he would have never tithed on the millions of other dollars that he made.
That's it.
And interesting man.
And I'll say.
But James L. Kraft, the founder of Kraft Foods, and another man who lived on a small portion of his income, he said, the only investment I ever made which has paid consistently increasing dividends is the money that I've given to the Lord.
That's a great testimony.
It is.
Number 5. God will not use money to satisfy every whim and desire.
Charles Spurgeon, the renowned English pastor, said, you say if I had a little more, I should be satisfied. You make a mistake. If you're not content with what you have, you would not be satisfied if it was doubled.
Think about that.
Here's an absolute
satisfied
fact.
Yeah.
God is displeased when our focus concentrates heavily on ourselves without regard for others.
You know, we quoted James 4:3 earlier, but the King James puts it, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. It's fine to have wants and desires.
What was it you just posted on Facebook? That quote?
I don't remember. But about wants and desires?
And lust.
If you find, it's fine to have wants and lusts, but lusts that turn into musts will eventually lead us down the wrong path.
Or it might turn you into dust.
Well, that too.
Anyhow, that's a good quote.
We're blessed by God to be a blessing. And you know, there's so much blessing in being a blessing that it's a benefit in and of itself, a huge one. Proverbs.
And sometimes it's a random act. Don't mean to embarrass you. But this week, we were going to the car. I got in the car. You started to get in, put your stuff in the car, and she stopped for a moment, and you walked over to another car. It was like two spaces over, and started talking to a woman there. And you talked for a good while. Now, tell everybody the rest of the story.
I just felt led to go talk to this lady, but she had just lost her father-in-law, and I guess her husband's sister was really giving him a fit about a lot of stuff, and she was very distraught, so I just had asked her if I could pray with her, and she goes, please. So anyway, that's the short end of the story.
No, what's the rest of it?
I don't know.
Her daughter came out.
Oh, well, you tell that. It's embarrassing to me. Well, she had come in. They were not from this area, really. She came in to buy a Bible. Anyway, but she said it helped her mother-in-law so much, or her mother, excuse me, it was her mother, that she came back in to find out who we were. But anyway, that was very sweet, and I appreciated that.
Didn't cost anything but time.
Yeah. She looked like she needed help.
I mean, I've seen you on airplanes. I mean, we're on a flight once that the three seats on either side, and she was sitting up front, and I was on the second row. And there was a devil's on the window by the window. There was a man on the window in front of me. I was on the aisle in the second row, and there was nobody on the left. And I see my wife get up. I see her look over, and she start praying. And she moved over her seat. Then she moved over another seat, and I could tell she was still praying. And finally, she moved over to where the guy was and started witnessing to him.
I have to be sure it's God. Anyway, we're going to run behind tonight.
Yeah, but this is important. You seize moments. Well, you seize moments to speak a word to people. You know, you don't have to have a fat wallet or a big checking account.
To seize a moment, right?
To seize a moment and make a difference in people's lives. Hallelujah. See, our lifestyles have to be guided by the Holy Spirit.
That's it.
And you know, when we do what He says, when we're obedient to those moments, then our needs will be met, and He'll provide abundance so that we can help others. Mm-hmm. And abundance is the freedom to receive heaven's blessings.
Amen.
And resources so you can bless others.
That's right.
That's my definition, our definition of abundance.
Amen.
And we accept and activate this principle, God multiplies it as well.
In the contemporary society we live in, we're bombarded with so many worldly things, you know, and wanting everybody's, you know, if you hang around. And you do have to hang around secular people, you know, because that's how you witness to them and that's how you talk to them. But they're always wanting the newest thing and the best house and the best, you know, da-da-da-da-da. And you can't get wrapped up in all of that, you know, striving, which is emptiness, you know, eventually.
It just seems that there's a never-ending thirst for things that don't satisfy.
That's it.
And you get a new job, a new car, a new house, all the toys. Some people can get a new spouse. But it's not going to bring satisfaction.
That's right.
Because what brings satisfaction is the Lord.
Amen.
And being unsatisfied with our lives, I think, is the root of all kinds of sin. It's why people do cheat on their spouse, why they abuse drugs and alcohol.
Or think they're going to find
mindlessly
something better.
Binge watch, ridiculous amounts of television, and, you know, on the internet, you know, more than they need to. Scrolling endlessly on Facebook, looking at stuff. I have a low threshold for that, even if I had time, because I won't say that. Lord, I'm going to be nice to
you. Okay.
Promise. Anyhow.
People tend to ignore or overlook or even reject peace, happiness, satisfaction that comes from the Lord that's found in the Bible.
Because they're looking in the wrong place.
That's exactly right.
What was that old country song?
Yeah.
Looking for love in all
the
wrong
places. That's it.
Something like that.
How did we even know the name of that?
And as you just said, people tend to ignore, overlook, or reject peace, happiness, and the real things that can bring them satisfaction.
Because they get caught up in stuff that's not really satisfying.
That's true. Brief review.
Yes.
Five things God will never do with money. Number one, God will never use money to worry us.
And God will never use, number two, never use it to corrupt us.
Number three, God will never use money to build our egos.
And number four, God will not cause Christians to hoard.
Number five, God will not use money to satisfy every whim and desire. God's word says, trust Him, test Him. It's Malachi 3:10.
Yeah.
And see how much He wants to bless you.
I know. It's
to achieve God's best, we have to apply what the Word says without limitation. Because if we don't apply it to the Word, we're going to live a life of frustration instead of expectation.
Very well put. In Proverbs 25:12, the Living Bible, it says, where is the man who fears the Lord? God will teach him how to choose the best. God will teach us how to choose the best. And that's good in a lot of translations, that Proverbs 25:12.
God will teach us to choose the best. That means, with what we taught last week, how to make the rest of this year the best.
Yes.
That means that God wants us to have the best. God will teach him how to choose the best.
But it's a progression.
It is.
Of doing, you know, planting and doing His will, and then all those other things. Hey, there's a scripture about that.
Yeah, there is. If you're not experiencing peace in financial matters, ask yourself, who's in control of your financial decisions? Who's directing your path? Are you being controlled by God or your own desires? What are the consequences of our actions?
Our desires.
Desires and attitudes.
That's true. Isaiah 26:3 says, this is King James, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee."
This teaching was not only about five things God will never do with money. The
opposite of that.
Opposite of that. Mm-hmm. You'll find what God does want you to do with money. He wants you to be a blessing to other people. He wants you touching lives. That's what he wants.
Open to being used by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. And I want to come back to that again. You're put in situations where you can speak a word to somebody and it changed their lives. My friend Clay was supposed to work at the voting polls on Tuesday, but they hadn't set it up for him to do it. And he was walking in the parking lot, and this man, woman, and their 19-year-old son, I think, walked up and said, "Are you Clay Worrell?" He said, "I am." And they started talking to him because they'd seen his website, his Epic Life Solutions, to help people who've had addictions find freedom.
Amen.
Freedom
Real
that lasts.
That lasts.
And he ended up talking to him for an hour and a half. See, some people would be upset that they weren't able to do what they went there to do. But that hour and 15-minute conversation encouraged that family.
Amen.
That's how we have to look at the people we meet every day. When I teach church leadership, I'd tell them, you never know when somebody walks in the door what kind of morning they've had.
That's right.
What kind of week they've had. And you may be the closest thing to Jesus they're going to see or talk to. So smile. If you're a hugger, give them a hug. And by the way, hug them the right way if you're a woman or they're a woman. There's a right way or a wrong way.
That's right. That's right.
I like that smile. Anyhow, so this week, make a decision and say, "Lord, I'm ready for whoever you put me in front of."
That's it.
Things are going to change. And sometimes things happen that just inspire you. Our friend Judy is here tonight.
Yes.
Went through cancer surgery, chemo, and radiation.
And they wrote her up in the newspaper.
Wrote her up in the daily newspaper. Great article.
Good article.
And see, that article,
will
no
touch
telling
people.
How many people that article will touch.
That's right.
And see, there's just a...
Everybody can be a witness.
It's kind of like you get a little snowball and you start rolling down the hill. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
Amen. What a blessing.
Yep. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm through now. All right. If you've been blessed by the teaching, take your mouse, go to the top where it says sow a seed. Just ask God what seed he'd have you put in the ground. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. And make sure that you check out the 2-minute video while you're there.
Yeah.
And set your clock on your phone if you need to. But make sure you join us every morning for Rich Thoughts for Breakfast. If you can't tune in live at 8:30, then do the playback.
That's it.
You can listen to it while you're coming home from the commute. But you have to be careful, because some of it might cause you to get so excited you want to run off the road. Or, you know.
It's good.
Shout.
That's what he's saying. Good stuff.
Yeah.
All right. We try to help people and encourage. So, praise the Lord and thank you, Jesus. You're going to happy trails us?
And until we meet again, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
I'm still thinking rich thoughts.
You're always thinking rich thoughts.
I know. We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you.
Amen.
Bye-bye.